Hey, all of you out there in podcast land. This is Band Central Radio's podcast for show 208. I am Andy Cadison, the host. And on this episode, I'm joined at the top of the show by my co-host, Rob Fried. We play great music from folks like Fogerty and JJ Cale and Pearl Jam. And we also world premiere a track from Rob Fried himself, Living on the B-Side. It's worth checking out. It's a great song in demo form. We're also talking about our nonprofits and what's going on with them. It is not getting any easier because of this COVID thing. Nonprofits don't get to make the money that they are normally used to raising to help them operate their businesses. It's not a great thing. So you're going to learn, you're going to be entertained, and hopefully you're going to share what we're talking about with both sides of your brain. Band Central Radio Podcast here on WPKN's Podcast Place. Stand by. It's going to be a great show. Don't go anywhere. Hey, you found us. Just like always, it's Band Central Radio right here on WPKN in Bridgeport and listening live on WPKN.org. This is Andy Cadison, and I am thrilled to say our usual co-host is joining at the top of the show, Mr. Rob Fried.
Andy, happy Monday to you and all of our WPKN listeners. We are excited to be here for an hour of community-oriented Band Central Radio.
Yeah, man. Is it community oriented? I don't even know what it is anymore, but let's go with that. Let's say that that's...
PKN slots us at the 12 to 1 hour, which is the community radio hour.
Yeah, I call us it's the highfalutin radio hour. That's my thing. So, you know, we are Band Central. We produced theme concerts, and how's that going? Not so great at the moment. We produce this radio show. We have a vibrant social media presence, Experience Band Central on Facebook and experiencebandcentral.com. And we work with, advise, and platform nonprofits who are doing good in the community. That includes working with Filling in the Blank, Sterling House, the Center for Family Justice, Clasp Homes, and our very own WPKN, no less. How does that sound? I think that's right.
That sounds great.
Hey, Rob, it sounds like you're chewing. It sounds like you're eating a set of buffalo wings. What's going on over there?
No, I was actually just enjoying my cud.
Yeah.
Chewing on the inside of you. COVID has done some strange things to me. I actually now chew my cud.
Yeah, it sounds very goat-like over there. I don't know what's up.
All right, I'll convert it back to human. How are you doing through all of this?
You know, I think I'm a little funky. I think we're all sort of struggling to figure out what's going on and how it's all going to make sense in the future. Do I go out to eat? Do I not go out to eat? I can't go out to the movies. There really isn't a concert I can go out to see, or, you know, going to the bar, you're sort of taking your life in your own hands. So I think I'm a little bit like our theme for the show today, which is I've got some acceptance to what's going on around us, but I'm also feeling pretty resistant. And so I guess you could say might be a little funky on this end.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you summed it up well with the, you know, acceptance, which is kind of a higher vibe that we would like to be at, and that the kind of the anger and the frustration that we're all fearing that our lives were put on hold, you know. And man, there's a lot going on, not just the pandemic, but the political season and the divisiveness and you and I both have elderly parents. You have your father, I have my mother down in Florida. We're both worried about, you know, them now. So it's hard to stay focused, don't you think?
Sorry, I was dozing I was losing my focus while you were talking. Yeah, of course it's hard to stay focused. You don't know whether or not you're going to lose it. Somebody's going to cough on you and it's going to be all over time. You know, my dad's going to be 89. Your mom's roughly the same age. You know, these people are not what they used to be. And sometimes it's hard to remember when they seem normal, but they're not really. But let me tell you, getting old sucks. I can tell you firsthand, it ain't pretty.
You know what I've noticed? You know, there was sort of this first 4 to 6 months of being with COVID. And now we're kind of in this second phase of it all where I don't think it's as much about the virus itself or the economics, but I think we're dealing a lot with the psychological aspects of people struggling and dealing with the depression and the anxiety.
People are struggling.
I'm seeing that with my friends. And I don't know, are you seeing that with some of your intimates?
You know, I think there's a definite circumstance where the uncertainty is really getting to us all. We tend to live in a culture that's very hypnotized by distraction. And I think one of the essential elements why there's resistance right now is that people don't have the same old to go to. Go to the movies, go to a show, go out, go to a bar, you know, do the kind of things that can kind of get you out of your experience. People are locked and loaded in their own morass. And I think, you know, even for us with Band Central, you know, like I said at the top of the show, you know, we produce theme shows. Yeah, that's kind of crappy right now. We haven't produced a show, a really big show, in months and months and months, right? I mean,
no, that's right. That's right. Live music is in limbo. And, you know, hopefully by you and me having this conversation and playing some good tunes over the next hour, we can help with some of that stuckness that you're talking about. But maybe that's a good segue for me to just give a little update on what some of our nonprofits are doing and what we're doing with Band Central.
I've been waiting with bated breath.
Cool. So interestingly, we're seeing a lot of interesting stuff with our nonprofits, particularly the ones related to food insecurity, you know, like think about childhood hunger right now during a pandemic. And that's a real big obstacle. So one of the nonprofits we've been working with that we highlighted in our recent newsletter, Filling in the Blanks, they basically provide weekend meals to children and families. And it's really exciting. Next month, they're about to serve their 1 millionth meal. So we really want to help them celebrate that.
I think they're serving it to me because I don't have COVID, but I have the 19. I mean, that's the other thing. I have I have too much food security. It's horrible.
Yeah, you're the other direction, and Children's Learning Center in Stamford, they actually reopened, so they've got about 1,000 families in the Stamford Norwalk area, mostly Black and Brown families, that where they're now serving 2 meals a day and snacks, and really helping with that early childhood education that allows parents to get back to work. We also have Sterling House, which has been with their food pantry, and they're in the Stratford community. So we've got a group of nonprofits really helping with the food insecurity, including the Center for Family Justice. We've got, one of our favorite cancer survivorship nonprofits, Mission, is closing their center in Stamford, and they're going entirely virtual. So now,
if
you're a cancer
deal.
Survivor and you want to, Mission has programs that you can just check on via Zoom in nutrition and fitness and wellness. And they've been collaborating with Ann's Place. We're seeing some interesting things going on in the support for people with development disabilities. CLASP is still growing really strong in their programs to support adults with disabilities. And we actually have an upcoming concert, Andy, on October 15th at the Admiral parking lot in Westport, where we're going to be doing a tailgate concert on a flatbed trailer. Only 70 cars can be there. That's going to be to support CLASP. So we're excited about that. We'll talk more about that. We're also seeing Wolfgang, you know, the nonprofit that helps young adults kind of just out of high school getting into the community that have development disabilities, develop the training to be able to be productive members of society. And they have pivoted in their services. Lastly, I'll mention, I'm really excited about what we're seeing with the Maritime Aquarium, where they saw an explosion of online visitors in Norwalk because, you know, you think about parents and teachers at home wanting to teach their kids and all the great stuff you could see at the museum online. And we're doing a monthly music series with them now that started online. And now we've been having musicians go into the aquarium as aquariums opening up to kind of combine, you know, music with ocean awareness. So there are some exciting things going on in the nonprofit community, though I have to admit, what the thing you said up top, that they're dealing with this uncertainty and a risk of their sustainability, is front and foremost to them.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, it's hard for Band Central right now, bro, because we can't do much for them. You know, we can't really do these live music events. So we've given some grants. We actually gave about 25 grants to nonprofits, 40 grants to musicians. But the next few months, it's kind of hard for us because we can't really show up, and do live music events. So I think we're doing what you and I are doing here, which is trying to spread some positivity and infotainment.
Yeah, I think we're working okay on the info part. I hope we're getting through on the attainment part. This is Andy Cadison and Rob Fried, Band Central Radio on 89.5 WPKN. And I think we need a plan B. The state of affairs is pretty crappy out there. So without further ado, I think Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers have got something to say about just this very subject, meaning a plan B. So let's take a listen to American Dream, Plan B.
We'll be right back.
Pearl Jam, Worldwide Suicide, here on Band Central Radio 89.5, WPKN in Bridgeport, and listening live on WPKN.org. Man, I love that song, and it's sort of emblematic for our time. This is Andy Catterson along with Rob Fried, and we're talking about what's going on in the world and what's going on with our nonprofits and trying to make sense of it all, whether we have acceptance or resistance. I think there's a little of both. What do you think about that, Rob?
I do. I really like that as a theme and as sort of an approach to evolution. You know, you meet resistance and you want to get to acceptance. And how does that happen?
Yeah, I wish I knew. I mean, I'm definitely suffering a little bit more resistance these days than acceptance. But, you know, everything, I suppose, happens for a reason. One of the things I've been doing during this time is checking out cool shows and cool videos that can inspire me. I was watching Pearl Jam 20, and I think that's an incredible story of how those guys came about during the time of grunge. And I also watched Running yeah. Down a Dream, you know, the Tom Petty documentary that Bogdanovich did that's up on Amazon. And man, I recommend that highly. Not only is it a story about a band and a guy, Tom Petty, that wouldn't settle and wouldn't buckle down when the record company stole his publishing and stole the boutique label that he was signed to and tried to mess about with him, shows that he was very angry and also really cool at the same time. But the level of songwriting and the level of production was really something incredible. And I know one of the things that you've been doing during this time is a bit more songwriting. And that's not really easy to do, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that I like to write long form. I've written songs. But songwriting in general and the art of being able to tell a story in 3 minutes, to synthesize your influences and to make something that sort of sounds like you want to listen to it is really a brave thing to do. And I wonder how you've been doing it. How has it been going in your studio? We can't go out and play live music. So in essence, this is a way for you to step up to the plate and do what you love doing during a time when, you know, everything is basically still closed to us. Pretty fascinating.
Yeah. And the song, you know, song as a format, because you're used to writing in novels or screenplays, Andy, and those are kind of longer arcs.
Yes.
You know, but the beauty of like a Petty or the really pithy songwriters is that they can do in a couple of verses and a chorus, they can take us through that whole arc.
It's true. And
don't
I
you agree? It's
I
different.
Agree.
And I would say one of the formats I've been using in my songwriting, which is somewhat concise, is that, you know, I'll use the first two verses of a song. One, you know, and I'm tying this into resistance and acceptance. The first verse is about where there's the stuckness or the resistance. The second verse will generally be about a choice or a decision that the protagonist makes. And then the third verse is about the resolution. And hopefully that's going from apathy to living in acceptance. And then the chorus, which is put into the center there, is usually what's the lesson or the theme or the main point of that. Now that all ends up being pretty concise compared with the medium that, you know, you write in. But that's a format I've been using, you know, lyrically, and it also leads to a nice 3-minute song.
Well, you know, it's a courageous thing to do it. Lennon and McCartney, Elton and Bernie, Glenn and Don, you know, Paul Simon. There's a billion guys, but they all did something that you're doing. They told a story, and that's a pretty noble effort.
Absolutely. That's where our mediums are the same. And that's coming back to Petty. I mean, you're a student of Petty in a big way, beyond just his great work with melodies and
Exactly.
Vocal melodies. The storytelling is Bob Dylan-esque, right?
Well, he writes lyrics that are deceptively simple and also incredibly subtextually complex. And
how do you contrast him or compare him with Dylan lyrically? Is that a fair question?
I would say that he's up there with Dylan, you know. In fact, if anybody checks out this doc that I was mentioning, you see that along with the band who we've talked about before, Petty and the Heartbreakers were the only were the other band that backed Dylan in the 90s. And it was an incredible fit. They were on tour all over the world. They started out, I think, in Australia, and then it was like so good that they went all over, and Petty would sing harmony, and the band, Mike Campbell, everybody was just terrific. So I would say if Dylan is considered the greatest poet laureate in popular music in our country ever, and I would have to probably agree, you know, Petty is right there with him. He's in the handful of artists who have been able to equal or at least come close to what Dylan did. And that's saying something.
Yeah, and there, you know, there's all those great lyrics. Bernie Taupin, great lyricist.
Right.
Robert Hunter with the Grateful Dead.
Oh, there's a few.
Would Paul Simon go in that category?
Yeah, of course. Paul Simon. Yeah. I mean, I was talking about American guys. But yeah, Paul Simon, John and Paul, Mick and Keith. I mean, Mick and Keith weren't known totally as poets, but if you listen to some of their work, it's insane how good it was.
Well, it's interesting how your career with Sony Music and MTV has been, you basically been paid to be an observer of all this and produce around this. So it's sort of in, you know, you've treated it as more than just a hobby. It's kind of been your life to,
well, you don't know.
You know, to deal with this. It's just kind of interesting, which I think really makes, you know, I know the book that you're working on, Shooting Star, is going to be particularly interesting because even though it's fictional, there's an element of the book that's going to be sort of the memoir of what you've seen over the last 4 years in this industry.
Well, you know, the thing that comes to mind, and thanks for saying that, is just, you know, fans see stars a certain way and stars see the world a certain way. But, you know, it's really tough. If you're playing guitar and you're hanging out in your room, you know, that's one way of not, you know, becoming a world famous artist. But if you get out there and you write great songs and you learn how to perform, there's an element that comes about as a result of that. There's this superstardom that you can achieve, but it changes everything about the person. And I'm fascinated, having hung out with my fair share of celebrity, you know, they're not really kind of like everybody. And it's pretty interesting to see the distinction. And I do take note of that. You know, like even right now, celebrities generally are pretty deeply suspicious. So I wonder what they're thinking about. Most of the sort of distinction I've seen with celebrity is they tend to not be able to trust folks who are new in their world because they don't know, are they friends with me because I'm a celebrity or, you know, for some other reason. And then you look at what are people writing about. For example, you know, there's a problem. Big Pharma potentially is attacking homeopathy. There's a war on homeopathy at the FDA, safe medicine that wouldn't hurt anybody and can help. Can you believe that?
I have read about how powerful or forceful Big Pharma is.
Yeah, I just love that I threw in a plug for the war against homeopathy, which is something going on that most people wouldn't know about. But I think all artists to a certain degree have more time now than ever to plug into something that may be of interest to the rest of us and say something about it. I mean, geez, there's a lot to talk about.
So should we lead to playing some music? I think we're going to do something interesting here.
Well, and, I hope so.
We're gonna actually give a...
Well, there's a whole new thing here.
Oh,
right?
No, we're going to give the world premiere demo of one of the tunes that I've been working on called Living on the B-Side.
B-Side.
And then Living on the B-Side. I'll talk about that on the other side. And then we're also going to play one of both of our favorite songs from the greatest Grateful Dead concert of all time.
All right. Well, listen, right here on 89.5 WPKN in Bridgeport. It's Andy Cattison and Rob Fried, Band Central Radio, and we are excited to premiere the demo of a new track that Rob has been working on called Living on the B-Side. I can't wait to hear it. I know it's going to be very cool. Here you go.
Would break. No use to apologize. What difference would it make? I'm a guy who made a choice to live a different way. Sitting with a friend of mine down in the cafe. Now I see I never knew what you meant. Things brew up in smoke. It's heaven sent.
This is Band Central Radio here on 89.5 WPKN Bridgeport, listening live on WPKN.org. And here's some Grateful Dead.
Red eye chain.
place where the ox mowed ahead. They take up the oak and plow the fields red. Gone are the days when the ladies say please. Jimmy Jack Jones, won't you come to me? Now I'm living in Red Grenadine. The bottle was dusty, but the liquor was clean. Sound of the thunder with the rain pouring down, and it looks like the old. It's like the old man's getting old.
All right, the Grateful Dead on Band Central Radio, 89.5 WPKN in Bridgeport, and listening live on WPKN.org. This is Andy Cadison along with Rob Fried, and that was probably considered to be the greatest Dead show of all time. I don't know if it was or it wasn't. There were so many of them, but what a heck of a show. That was Barton Hall, Ithaca, May of 1977. And let me tell you something. I matriculated at Ithaca College that fall. Missed it by that much. I can't believe it. But, you know, it is what it is. There's a guy named Michael Palmisano on YouTube, and he dissects those tracks, Rob Fried. And, man, that guy is so good, and he's got that track up there, and I recommend
people. Well, you're talking about Brown-Eyed Women.
Yeah, I'm talking about Brown-Eyed Women, Grateful Dead, Ithaca, what we just heard. And before that, we heard Living on the B-Side. And, man, I love that song. I love what the demo was sounding like. How did you get there? You know, how did that all come together for you?
Well, the first thing is that I have been writing a lot of songs that are more of a singer-songwriter orientation. And I wanted to get back to sort of that funky side, soulful side of myself. So I really made it around that guitar lick and the bass groove. And you see how they fit together.
Sure.
And then I've been playing for 25 years with one of my best friends, Barry Blumenfield. He plays guitar, mandolin, dobro. I play upright acoustic bass. We both sing. And one of the things we do is perform songs that you would consider on the B side of the record. And we've made a living playing songs on the B side. And I kind of took that as almost a metaphor for life about what's it like when you don't have to be in the limelight. You could almost be like more of a B-type personality, and you, though you're happy. And there's a lot of harmony in that, not having to be the center of attention. Mm-hmm. So the song has those sorts of undercurrents to them. And then as I was mentioning on the previous segment, I kind of used that structure that I've been liking where, you know, the first verse, you got this guy stuck in a relationship. He sits down with a friend at a coffee shop in verse two and makes a decision.
Right.
And then I take it to the chorus, and the chorus is basically that living on the B side is enough, that I'm fulfilled. And the last verse kind of explains the resolution that he went through, you know, and how he kind of went through resistance to acceptance, which is the theme of our show.
I love it. And so how does it feel to hear it on the radio?
It feels really good. I mean, I'd love to hear what listeners think of you. Call the station or contact me via robfriedmusic.com. I'd be happy to email you an MP3.
What do you think is going on? I think people should do that. What do you think people are doing these days as it relates to their own musicality? Musicians in particular are really struggling lately with their own career choice. You know, they're not playing out as much. We know for a fact some of our guys are really lamenting the fact that they can't get out in front of audiences. It's a real change of pace for these musicians. How are you seeing that, and what can we do? Is there anything we can do about it?
Yeah, I've seen many musicians who I think of as optimists kind of reaching a point here where the whole combination of the music industry tanking, the suppressing impacts of COVID, the political environment that you're talking with, and I think musicians are very sensitive to the emotions surrounding fairness in politics. I am seeing sadness and depression. You know, like you said at the top of the show, there really is a void. We don't know what music is going to look like on the other side, live music. But meanwhile, I had, you know, one friend send me a text saying, I just miss being on stage.
Yeah. Listen, man, if the first concert that happens is Roger Waters and another version of The Wall, I'm out. I don't care.
what do you mean by that?
I mean, you know, listen, there's got to be room for new voices. I think that as I watched this Petty doc and I saw, you know, their first record didn't do much here in the States. They had to go over to the UK, and they were embraced as being part of the new wave of Talking Heads and Debbie Harry and Blondie and, you know, the Sex Pistols even. And they were not them. They were a rock pop band. But their vibe was very, very much they were changing the conversation around music. Who's going to change the conversation now? I mean, we're living in a world where everybody's hiding away by necessity, the pandemic. Everybody's stressed out. Are we going to have a new crop of writers come up and artists who aren't just in it for the popularity contest, for who's on the cover of People magazine? The winner for Best Grammy Award for New Artist is somebody most of us don't even hear about anymore, and we don't care. It doesn't matter. How do we find out who can step to the plate and make a difference?
Well, you know, look, I was having this conversation that you and I have had, lamenting what's going on in the music industry, and my friend Rich Wenning was saying, you have to look a little more closely because there actually are some things sprouting up. And he goes, art always does this. You know, true art will always find a release and a way to sprout up.
Yeah.
So there's some really cool artists on the underground scene in L.A. sprouting up now, like the Phoebe Bridges. There's an interesting mixture of music going on now that's got kind of like the hip hop undercurrent, but with some jazz. And also with some organic storytelling, because a lot of this has got to be home produced, you know, during COVID, and it's more natural. So I think there's an interesting fusion of things going on, but we as listeners have to search it out.
Yeah, I mean, you're not talking about Megan Thee Stallion, but I agree.
And I was talking about a guy named Tom Misch, M-I-S-C-H, who.
Okay.
Really kind of interesting, a little. Maybe we'll play some of him on our next show.
Sure.
But these are some of the newer things. And
well, I think.
But, I mean, I guess that's the point about resistance to acceptance. Acceptance is then bringing some hope and optimism and courage to try to find what's next.
You know, I think it's a pretty bold listener that can put acceptance in front of resistance when it comes to new music. I mean, how many of us are, you know, ingrained with what it is that we grew up with, and we're pretty intolerant of being open to hearing new music? That's exactly what we grew up with. My dad was a classical music aficionado, and when the Beatles and the Stones and, you know, everybody that we all listened to back in the day were doing their thing, my dad thought that we'd be breaking his highfalutin, again, there's that word, that we'd be breaking his high-end stereo. And man, that was a miss. And, you know, I still kind of resent him for that. But I do think that, you know, as we are all struggling with resistance and looking to acceptance, there's got to be some tricks, some things that we can do. And you're a guy, Rob, when you go on vacation, you've gone out and you've done sitting retreats with Buddhist teachers and the 6R thing. So I come to you seeking advice on behalf of all of our listeners. What can we do? How can we show up in the world and make it a little easier on ourselves to be able to help not only the nonprofits and people we love, but ourselves cope with what's going on?
Simply use this time to first and foremost focus on yourself, your own health, and your own inner peace, which is hard. And then look to see where you can show up for others in the community. And if you're drawing a blank slate, feel free to contact WPKN and forward your questions to Band Central through PKN. And maybe we can help you find people, nonprofits and organizations in the community that you can resonate with.
Man, that sounds like something that could actually be pretty therapeutic.
You got a couple more songs to spin for us here?
Oh, sure I do. Well, the first up is something I discovered on YouTube. I've said it before. I love finding new music and listening to oldies as well on YouTube. So here now are John Fogerty and his family. Again, they look more like his grandchildren than his children, but they did a remake of a song he did a number of years ago after Creedence. It's called Blue Boy. Let's take a listen on Band Central Radio 89.5 WPKN.
Watch out. you heard a rumor that's going around? You got a man plowed away across town. It's the same old story. Tell me, where does it end? It's the same old blues, the same old blues again.
I got on this morning, let the telephone ring. Pick a damn thing up, didn't say a thing. It's the same old story, how does it end? Lord, it's the same old blues, same old blues again.
Well, find me a mountain, I'm gonna hide out. I ain't talking to you, I ain't coming out. It's the same old rumor, tell me what is it in? It's the same old blues, the same old blues again.
Gonna find me a mountain, gonna hide out. You ain't coming in, Lord, I ain't coming out. It's the same old story, baby, how does it end? Yeah, same old blues, same old blues again. Same old blues, same old blues again. It's the same old blues again. It's the same old blues again.
Alrighty then, JJ Cale and Leon Russell from the Paradise Studios in LA, 1979, in the same old blues. This is 89.5 WPKN in Bridgeport, and we are Band Central Radio. I am Andy Cattison. I want to thank my co-host and brother from another mother, Rob Fried, who joined for most of the show. That was a special treat. I want to give a shout out to all of the nonprofits who are out there working so hard to keep it going during this uncertain time. Specifically, Fill in the Blank, Sterling House, CLASP. We have a show October 15th. It's going to be a rock and roll show at a drive-in venue. You'll be able to check that out on our website. If you want to see anything that's going on with us, and I highly recommend that you do, check out experiencebandcentral.com or Experience Band Central on Facebook. It's well worth it. I also want to give a special shout out to WPKN, Steve, Rod, and the team, who are doing such a great job keeping it all going during this funky time. So we are Band Central Radio. We do things that hopefully matter, and we are wishing all of you guys a very safe and wonderful week. Take care, be safe, make good decisions. See ya.